Trying to leave a rusher for the Niners. Stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson. Gets a shoulder square.
Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome into episode 22 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and you can also find me on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you haven't heard, we have a new sponsor here at South Harmon, Manscaped. Manscaped, you can get everything you need in men's grooming and hygiene products. Manscaped Performance Package includes the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer with advanced skin-safe technology to prevent nasty nicks and cuts. In addition to that, you can also get the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer and the Crop Preserver ball deodorant, the Crop Reviver toner, and everything else that you need at manscaped.com. The best part is, for anybody that's listening to this, you can get 20% off if you use the code SHFF20 at manscaped.com. That's all you need to do. Head over to manscaped.com, use the code SHFF20, and get 20% off of your order. This week's episode is all about the values that people put on their waiver claims. I want to give a shout out for this episode to Luke Probasco from the G5 Hive. If you haven't heard of him, you can go check him out at Probasco Luke. That's at Probascoluke on X. And you can also check out the G5 Hive that he does with his co-host Justice at G5HIVE on X. So I met Luke at the Fantasy Football Expo, and he's one of those people that after the expo, I went back and started talking to him. And we had a great conversation, and one of the things that we talked about was the idea of what is the last number on your waiver claims? Is there an edge to be found where you can either save yourself some money because you know nobody's going to be competing with you in that range, or that maybe if you spend $1 more, you're going to be more or less guaranteed to get that player unless somebody is spending in a different monetary bracket from you. I did an episode earlier in the season about what it takes to be a winner, and I found that even teams that were winning their leagues were still leaving on average about 40% of their waiver budget unused. So if we can find a way that, hey, using 2% of my waiver budget causes me to be guaranteed to get a player, something that would be a huge benefit to just trying to get those players you want off of waivers over a course of the season and actually taking advantage of all of the waiver budget that is allocated to you or potentially that you can even trade for from other teams in your league. We were talking about the anecdotal things that we all know, that a lot of people do $0 bids and that a lot of bids end with zeros and fives. But I realized that I have the data to check this. I can see how often we are ending our bids in zeros and fives versus any other number. And so I wanted to take a look and figure out, hey, how strong of an effect is that? And how many people are actually attempting to counter these kinds of bids? So the first thing I wanted to pay attention to was just what are the most common bid numbers? What are the numbers that are most commonly being used for any players? And as you would expect, the most common bid number is zero. Most people, for a lot of their bids, they just end up putting a player on waivers. They don't care too much whether they get them or potentially somebody else in particular. So they just put in a bunch of $0 claims and they end up getting whoever they get. I know I'm guilty of doing this all the time. I will put in bids for $0 where I'll put in like 10 bids, and it'll be because I have two roster spots open and I don't care too much which of the players I get. Yeah, I have an order, but if some people end up bidding a couple dollars on a player or whatever, I don't end up getting those guys and I end up getting the guys that were the $0 bids. And this is probably a hole in my strategy. I should be bidding a little bit on these players. And some of it just comes down to a time thing. As I'm running through doing my waivers, I'm trying to get through as many leagues as possible as quickly as possible. And so I end up not thinking about, hey, how much money should I be putting on each player in this league? Because different leagues have different values and different amounts of fab and things like that. And so that's probably a hole in my game that I need to get better at. And I know I do it, and everybody else is doing it too. So if you want to beat the majority of bids, you just need to bid $1. That's all you need to do. And so then that brings us to the second most common bid value. It is $1. Obviously, it's people saying, hey, I want to beat all the people that aren't bidding anything, but I don't want to bid too much. So I'm just going to go to $1, and if I get them or I'm competing against maybe one other manager in my league rather than eight or nine of them, that's a win. And then the third most popular is two. Obviously, those $2 bids are people trying to beat out the $1 bids. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense. But already at this point, we're talking where the $0 bids were at a rate of six times the $1 bids. And then those $1 bids are at double the rate of the $2 bids. So we're looking at already a point where for every $2 bid on waivers, there are 12 $0 bids that go through. So if you just are willing to spend those tiny little bits amount of fab, then you are way more likely to get the players that are at the top of your list that you really want, because you've already so many other people in your league just by putting a couple dollars out on the table. Now, there's one thing that I kind of glossed over here. It's that I've actually been reading off the data for the off season, not during the season. And during the season, that number three spot actually changes a little bit. So instead of it being two, it's actually five. Five sneaks out over two in terms of the rate of number of people that bid that number, a little bit more than two. In the off season, it's slightly under by like literally a difference of 5%. And then during the season, it is higher, and that difference is by almost 10%. So the number of people that are willing to bid $5 on a player greatly increases during the season. And that kind of makes sense, because during the season, you're going to actually know that, okay, this money is going to reset at the end of the season. I can afford to be a little bit more loose with it and be able to spend it a little bit more willy-nilly. But it means that when we're looking at the most common numbers, we're in the season looking at 0, 1, 5, and then 2. And now, rather than talking about the rate in between all the numbers, just know it kind of goes down in that exponential curve fashion where it slowly gets closer to 0 but doesn't approach like that limit curve that you learned about probably in like geometry or algebra 1 or something like that back when you were in school. These numbers are in decreasing for the in-season values. So 0, 1, 5, 2, 3, 10, 6, 15, 11, 7, 4, 20, 8, 25, 12, 9. So the reason I stopped there at 9 is that is the last single digit number that is commonly used to win a bid. And what do I notice from this? The difference between 9 and 10 is quite massive. In fact, if I look at the rates between the two, the number of bids with $10 is almost four times that of bids with $9. So if you're willing to go to $9, you should probably just put an extra dollar there on 10 and be more likely to get the player. Or bump it all the way back down to 6. Because if you put it down to 6, you're going to save yourself $3. And the rate of people that will do $7 or $8 on a bid is about equivalent to that 10 number anyway. And so I'm trying to look at, okay, where can you pass or fall back from an equivalent number of people with a equivalent amount of money? And so that's a little bit confusing. But what I mean is going from 9 to 10 is the same jump in the number of people as going from 9 down to 6. And so that's really important because I want to know where to best allocate my money. I save those $3 now because that means when I am feeling comfortable spending $2 on a player, I can now instead spend $5 on said player. I'm more likely to get them, and I had much better value in terms of the number of people that I am now outbidding by going to $5. So as I do this and as I go through these numbers, I start to notice quite a few patterns and also quite a few dead zones. I'm expecting to find a lot of these values that are in the teens. Like I know that you have a 12 and a 13 and a 14, 15, 16, etc. And it takes a while before I get through all of them. 14 is less used than some values like 26, 40, 22, 35, 100, 30, 21, and 50. So we're already getting into the point where we're recognizing that there is some bias in terms of the numbers that we're using right at the end. When there's a $1, $2, or $3 difference between certain numbers, there's massive differences in how often people are bidding with those. And what we want to do is we want to bid those numbers that are just higher than what people are naturally going to do, and also lower our bids, where sometimes I will come up with a number. I'm like, hey, my number on this player, let's say it's $38. Well, if I go and look at my list, I notice where 38 is. And the difference between 38 and 35 is huge. And if I save myself literally an extra $2 by going to 36, I'm not really risking too much. And so there's some psychology there where, okay, I want to try and be hitting a lot of these sixes. I want to be trying to hit a lot of these ones. And I want to go through and look at, okay, how often is that happening? How much of a benefit are we getting by dropping those values down and upping our values in other places? I was talking to Luke originally. The idea was around, hey, I want to look at the data from a what is the most common last digit. And when I was looking at the data itself, I realized that I wanted to change some of how I was looking at this. I wanted to look at it in two different ranges. First, the range was I want to look at all the values under 10 because all of those are so common, and especially because of the psychology element of, well, I'm just trying to spend $1 or $2, is different than that of, hey, I'm already invested in this player at $10. What's the difference in going to 11? That's not very much than going from 0 to 1. 0 to 1 is technically infinite, whereas 10 to 11 is only a 10% increase. And the same goes for like 20 to 21. You're already in at 20. Why not go to 21? And then obviously I have the benefit of looking at the data before I'm reading it to you. And I noticed that there were some different values and different trends when we're looking at it in those single digit versus multiple digit ranges. Looking at 0 to 9, 58% of bids are $0 bids. So I'm not going to look at this too hard. I already kind of went through this a little bit. But we have that 1, 2, 3. It decreases down all those. 4 is extremely low. Not many people do $4 bids. Instead, that number shoots up at 5. And so those $5 bids, if you can go from $4 to $5, that makes way more sense than bidding $4. If you're going to bid $4, you might as well bid $3 or potentially even $2. And that just has to do with what is your difference. Your difference in bidding $4 and then going up $1 to $5, you allow yourself to compete with an additional 7.2% of single-digit bids. Whereas if you go from 4 down to 2, you let 7.6% of people pass you. But what's our difference here? Our difference is we spent $1 more to go up 7.2%, and we gained $2 by going down 7.6%. So we want to be spending our money where it makes the most sense. And it makes the most sense if we're already willing to go in at 4, go into 5. Because you'll find a different point where you are trying to bid 4, and you'll say, you know what, he's not worth $5 to me. And so then you can go all the way back on 2, and you can actually recoup $2 to spend later. We see something similar start to form when we get to 7, 8, 9. So 6 is about half the rate of 5. That is people trying to bid $1 more than the people bidding at 5. 7 decreases a tiny bit. 8 decreases a tiny bit. And then when we get to 9, we see the same effect happen versus 10. So if you were to advance forward to 10, you would put yourself in contention with 4.2% of bids. Whereas if you step yourself back, you can actually get an equivalence of about 5% of bids by going back to all the way down to 7. So once again, this is an additional tipping point. One extra dollar at 9 ends up causing you to jump back an equivalent of 2. So for every 2 times when you're willing to bid $9 on a player, you bid one extra dollar. Then on that third attempt, you go back to 7. And that allows you to be more likely to end up landing these players. You haven't actually bid more money. The only difference is that you're actually more likely to win your bids. But as I said at the beginning, we're running into a problem of we don't spend all of our fab over the course of the season. We're trying to be stingy. We're trying not to get players for more than they should be worth. And so some of this is the mental psychology of, hey, if I am bidding right now, this player is only worth $10. And so I want to make sure that I'm not bidding $30 on him, because obviously that'd be ridiculous. But that's what we're seeing at the end of the season. Like, man, I could have just bid $30 on all 3 players that I got, and I still would have had extra fab left over. So that's the sort of thing that I'm trying to do, is encourage us to spend a little bit of extra money at some of these tipping points. And so the next range that I want to look at is all of that is above 10, in that 11 through infinity. What is the last digit that is actually on the bid? And we see largely the same pattern, except for that it is more pronounced in the lower digit values. I'm talking the 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So what we see is that the number of bids that end in 0 are most common. That makes a lot of sense. Like, we know that we like to end in round numbers. We know that we like to end in numbers that are divisible by 10. And so that's what a lot of bids end up being. So if you can put an extra 1 on top, you are much more likely to guarantee yourself that you're going to get that player. We also see a lot of people ending their bids in 5s. However, what's kind of interesting is it's not that much more than people ending their bids in 1s. So what I see from that is, okay, a lot of people are either ending their bid at one, and then it's like the next tier up is ending it in the next higher five. So if you're bidding really high on a player, if you are willing to put a two, or you're willing to put a six, that will get you past that tier of, hey, everyone's willing to spend this amount of money without actually having to spend too much extra. Because realistically, if you're already willing to spend, say, $15 on a player, you should be willing to spend $16. Like, that difference is not very much if you're trying to guarantee that you're going to get them. And so if somebody else is viewing them as a $15 player, they are much more likely to actually spend those $15. But you having that $16, you have that $1 advantage, and that's all you need. The same thing goes if you're willing to spend $30 on a player. We see all the articles come out where it says, hey, you're willing to spend 30 to 40% of your fab on this player this week. Well, when we see that, let's say we're in agreement that it should be at the high end. It should be at 40%. You should do 41%. Your chance of getting that player is now much more likely because now you need somebody to go against their clean numbers, their bias, where they see the top of the range, it's 40%. They just hit the 40 and don't think about it. So you want to hit that 41. But we see that a lot of people are doing that already. So that's where this is the only case where I'm like, maybe this one, it's worth going the second extra dollar. It's willing to go to that 42. Because that rate of people that are putting the ones, people have wisened up. People have figured out that people are putting zeros at the end of their numbers, and a lot of them are doing ones. So if you do ones, you're just tying with a lot of these people. What we want to do is we want to have a better chance of guaranteeing we're going to get the good players we want. And so that is where putting the two at the end makes a lot of sense. For completionist's sake, I'm just going to list out the order of the last digits anytime you're above 10. They go 0, 5, 1, 2, 6, 3, 7, 8, 9, 4. So when you're looking at all these numbers, this is where what I was saying is we're trying to beat the ones that account for the large majority. And so that is 0, 1, and 5 combined together. They account for about two-thirds of all bids that are higher than 10. So to beat two-thirds of all bids, if we just bid ending in 2 and 6, we'll beat all of those bids provided they're in the same tier as us. And realistically, we're all fine with losing a player if somebody's valuing them in a different tier, if they're willing to put a lot more fab down than we are. What we don't want is to miss out on a player by a dollar. What we want is for our opponents, the other managers in our leagues, to be the ones that are missing out by a dollar. So I'm going to keep track of that this season and make sure that, hey, I'm focusing my bids on twos and sixes when I am up in that range. Because that will allow me to save a couple extra dollars. Say I was willing to go to like 34. Well, I should either decide, am I going to 36 or 32? Because if 36, I'm going up another tier, 32, I'm just saving myself $2. And this is something that, yes, I know some people might be listening to my podcasts and they might be trying to counter me by going threes and sevens. Cool. Well, that's just something that I personally am going to have to deal with. But you all as the listeners in leagues that are not ones that have a ton of people that are listening to this same data, listening to this podcast, you can use that 2 and 6 strategy in order to beat a lot of the other managers in your leagues. And then when I am under 10, that order, because I didn't read it out earlier, is 0, 1, 5, 2, 3, 6, 7, 4, 8, 9. What I'm going to be trying to do there is recognize that there is a tier break in between that 0, 1, 2, and then all the way up to that 5, 6, 7 tier. And so if I'm willing to go to $3 on a player, I'm going to try and push myself to go all the way up to 5 or 6. that sounds too uncomfortable, I'm going to try and stick down there at the 2 number. Save that little bit of extra fab so maybe in the later in the season, I am able to say, you know what, I've got these 3 extra dollars. Let me bump this guy up a tier because there's not many weeks left. I want to try and spend that money. I'm going to try and avoid 7, 8, and 9 like the plague. Or I'm at $6 and that's the max that I want to go to. Or I want to bump all the way up to 10 and potentially that 11 or even 12. And so that's going to be kind of how I focus my bids. So I'll probably still have a lot of $0 bids, and I'll probably still have a lot of $1 bids. But I want to try and push myself to get to 2, because that's the top of that tier. I also want to try to push myself to do $6 bids. That way I beat everyone that's bidding $5 on a player. And then I want to try and push myself to, hey, if I'm willing to go up higher than $6, I should try and jump all the way to 12. And then from that point, my tiers are 12, 16, 22, 26, 32, 36, etc. And I decide my tiers based on that, and I'm always spending either those 2s or 6s. Obviously, that sounds like, hey, I might run out of budget a little bit sooner, but that's my goal for this year. I said it back when I was talking about that episode of how much fab is left over at the end of the season, and that I knew myself that I leave a lot of fab left over at the season. If I find at the end of this year that I am running out of fab in all of my leagues, that is actually me sticking to my goals and doing what I'm trying to do this year. And I encourage you all as listeners to do the same. To try and spend more of your fab this year than you've done in previous years. Try to run yourself down to less money, because that's just money that we throw away at the end of the year. It is lost value to our team. It's the same as just throwing away some draft picks when the rookie draft comes around. You have those, you're in one of those lineup leagues where you can only roster 25 players and you have a 5-round rookie draft. Well, how often does that 5th-round draft pick even make it to your roster during the season? Like, realistically, you probably are cutting that guy down so that way you can pick somebody off of waivers who's popping in camp. So drafting that draft pick makes no sense. You want to try and turn that into some extra value, even if it's just bumping yourself up a pick or two in the 3rd round or something like that. Because you don't want to just be straight up losing the value by drafting a player to immediately cut them. It's the same idea. I want to try and spend this extra waiver budget that I have and try to run through it all at least at a much higher rate than I have in previous years. So that's everything that I have for you for this week. If you haven't, go check out our sponsor, Ultimate Autographs. At Ultimate Autographs, you can get all sorts of amazing signed memorabilia, and all you need to do is go to signed shit, that's signed sh.it, and use the code HARMAN15 at checkout to get 15% off. Once again, that's signed shit, signed sh.it, use the code HARMAN15 at checkout, and then go to your leagues, make sure that you're spending your fab, and as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. And I'll see you next week for our last episode before we have a full week of data in the 2024 season.